Today's shir is for Eschus for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Nun Aleph. We will begin Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom. Yom Dechaich by Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Yom Dechaich by Rebbe, a day that Rebbe would be happy, that he would smile. Asa Puryon Asa Ba'olam. There would be trouble, Tzar Yisurim come to the world. The Posh Pshat, as the Mashal explains, that Rebbe, by suffering, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, by Rebbe suffering, it took care of any suffering that Klal Yisrael unfortunately needs to experience. Him experiencing suffering was what saved us all from suffering. That's one Pshat. Another Pshat that I saw is that Rebbe was a person, as he's known as Rebbe HaKadosh, Rebbeinu HaKadosh. Rebbe represented Kedusha. Kedusha is the opposite of Erva. And Erva, an Aveira, sometimes comes from people being not serious enough. And because people aren't serious enough, that's how Tzaras come to the world. And the Gemara is teaching us that Rebbe, being Rebbeinu HaKadosh, prevented that from happening. So Rebbe said to Bakapara, because Rebbe didn't want to have this overlay, this over simcha in his life, he would ask him, Levai Tavatchin, as we discussed in our previous year. Bakapara was a batchin. He would go and try to make people feel happy. And Rebbe asked him, Levai Tavatchin, please don't do that. Please don't make me feel happy. V'yavinaloch, and if you do so, I will give you arba gervichitin. I will give you 40 measures a week. And I saw that the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, Bakapara did this for a living, being a batchin. And Rebbe told him, I will take care of your financial needs, even if you will be careful not to make any batchanis in front of me. Amalei, so Bakapara said to Rebbe, Lech seymar, the kol girvi debeina shakelna. So he told Rebbe, you know, whatever I will need, I will have anyway. So he said, says the Gemara Shokel, so Bakapara took a dekula rabba. And the way I saw that the Sefer Tiferes Tzion explains this Gemara, what happened here was that Bakapara said, you're willing to take care of my wages, but my wages only cover what I need. But I have a family that needs more than just that. And therefore, he said, I will be able to succeed in getting everything I need. Shokel de kula rabba, he took a big basket, chafya kufra, and he coated it with tar, or machs el reshe, and he put it on top of his head. Pashup shot, the reason he did it was that Rebbe should not be, the Mashal explains, that Rebbe should not be able to see him, because his face would be covered with this big basket over his head. And he told Rebbe, you will end up giving me arba gervichitid roshinabach, the 40 measures of wheat that I need. Achuch Rebbe. So when Rebbe saw him wearing this costume, it caused Rebbe to smile. Amalei levzatech delay tevatchen. Haven't I warned you that please don't make me be happy? Amalei, so he said to him, Chiti derishna kunasivna. As we mentioned a moment ago, he said, I need to have a lot of wheat. And what you promised me is not a deal that I'm willing to take. Amalei bakapara labati derevi. Bakapara told Rebbe's daughter, Lamacha shasina chamra, tomorrow I'm going to drink wine, brikuda de avich, as your father will dance, or be kekone de imach, and your mother will sing in front of me. Moshe Mefarshim explained, of course, he did not mean that her mother, Rebbe's wife, would sing kol isha's erva. What he meant to say was that his wife, Rebbe's wife, would clap along, and as she would see us enjoying ourselves. It says the Gemara, Ben Alosha Chasne de Rebbe Hava. Ben Alosha was Rebbe's son-in-law. Vasha Godel Hava, he was a very wealthy man. Azmnei Lebehul the Shibir Shem Rebbe. And Rebbe invited his son-in-law to his son's wedding. Amlei Bakapara le Rebbe. So Bakapara asked Rebbe at the wedding, my Toeva, what is the definition of Toeva? And of course, the Ben Yoyada explains, why is a wedding the time and place to discuss what does Toeva mean? So, as the Ben Yoyada explains, the Torah, even though it describes the word many times an Aveira with the word Toeva, the only place where the word Toeva is mentioned twice is by Mishkav Zachar, by homosexuality. And we know the reason a couple is supposed to get married, it's supposed to be a preventative measure against people. It's a way people should live the Kedusha v'Tahara. So as they're sitting at the wedding and they realize the purpose of a Jewish wedding is to build a home, the Kedusha v'Tahara, so he wanted to know, what does Toeva mean? Baruch HaBakapara, Amalei, so Bakapara asked Rebbe this question, and Rebbe wasn't able to answer. Amalei, so Rebbe said to Bakapara, Rebbe was of course anxious to understand what the words of the Torah mean, and he said, Parshiat, can you please explain what the word mean? Amalei, so Bakapara said to Rebbe, Tisa de Bitchi, V'tamalach Natla, let your wife come and pour for me a cup of wine. Asus, and she came, Ramulei, and poured the cup of wine for Bakapara. Asus, Ramulei. Amalei, Rebbe, and then Bakapara said to Rebbe, I'm not yet ready to give you an explanation. Only if Kum Rekoidli, if you will dance in front of me, and at that point, Amalach, I will tell you. And Rebbe, because he was so anxious to understand the words of the Torah, Amalei, so he did it. Hachi Amar Rachmana, and then he said to him, the word Toeva means Toeva, Toya Ataba, L'kos Achrina. Instead of living with your wife, as a couple is supposed to live, you're going after something and living with a man, which is totally unnatural. Amalei, so then Bakapara said to Rebbe, the word Tevel is used when a woman has relations with an animal. And he said to Rebbe, my Tevel, what is the definition of the word Tevel? Amalei Kinyana Kadma. So he said to him, your wife should do for me as we did in the previous Gemara, pour a cup of wine for me. Amalei Evidli, and you should do as I requested on the previous piece of Gemara, Daimelach, that if you want me to tell you the definition, you have to get up and dance for me. Avad. And he did. Rebbe was so anxious to know the definition, so he did it for him. Amalei Tevelhu. If somebody has Rachman Slan relations with an animal, Tavlin Yeshba, is there any pleasure in it? Meshanya Hadabia, is there any enjoyment in this beer, mekulam beers from all other beers. It's unnatural and not something that somebody would enjoy. So then Bakapara asked Rebbe another question. My Zima, the Torah, when it speaks about a person having an immoral relationship, calls it Zima. So he asked him, what is the definition of Zima? Amalei, and Bakapara again, the entire episode repeats itself. Eved Kinyana Kadmo. Do like we did in the previous Avad, and he did it, Ramalei, and he said, Zumahi. If a woman has relations with a man that we don't, and then she gets pregnant, we don't know who is the father. Zumahi. And as I saw, the Maral explains, what the Gemara is teaching us here is that there are three different types of immoral relationships that we refer to in our Gemara. One was a homosexual act, one was act with an animal, and one was an act with a woman who's not your wife, an immoral relationship. So what he was trying to explain, that if that all three of these averis, which of course are averis of forbidden relations, everyone is somewhat different. When somebody has relations, a man with a man, which is a totally not the way relations are supposed to take place, that's why it says to'eva. It's something that doesn't make any sense. An animal, which is even more complicated to understand, how does a human being have a relationship with an animal? It says, tavlin, is there any enjoyment in this type of relationship? When one has relations with a woman who's not his wife, so it's a natural form of relations. But even though it's a natural form of relations, it leads to terrible issues. Zumahi. Says the Gemara, Lo Yochel ben Eloshel Amizbal. Ben Eloshel could not tolerate what was happening here between his father, Rebbe, and Bakaporo. Kom v'nofak, huva intesiv etamon. He and his wife left the wedding. They couldn't stand what's going on here. And a short of Masha explains that Ben Eloshel, as we're going to learn in a moment, spent a tremendous amount of money to figure out how to kohen gadol did a haircut. And what the Gemara means to say is, usually a person of the stature of Ben Eloshel, he was Rebbe's son-in-law, he must have been a very prominent, great individual. Why was he called Ben Eloshel? Why was he only called based on his father, based on his father's name? He should have been had his own name. The answer is that Ben Eloshel got his money. He got his money because he inherited it. How do we know that he inherited money? So Mashal explains, somebody who works and earns money through his own hard work is much more concerned about his money and will not just spend it without any, will just spend it indiscriminately. Somebody who had to work to earn his money, such an individual has much greater appreciation for his money. And we're going to see now in the Gemara that Ben Eloshel spent a fortune on learning how to do a haircut, it must be because he was the son of Eloshel, who was a wealthy man, and that's how he earned his, that's how he had the money, not that he worked for it. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara explains that. My Ben Eloshel, the Tanya Loilachin and Pisa Ben Eloshel is Moisov. Ben Eloshel did not just spend his money indiscriminately. Elahar spent the Sparish Kohen Gadol. He wanted to learn, we know that the Kohen Gadol would have a haircut every day, and it was a very special type of haircut, and he wanted to learn how that haircut worked. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, regarding the haircut of a Kohen Gadol, Kosom Yichmasu Es Resheyem, Tana, and the Bryce explains, how was this haircut made? It was Kain Lulonius, my Lulonius. I asked him, well, what does that mean? Omer of Kahana, Tarspa Tasparto Yichida, a very special type of haircut. Hey Chidami, how was it done? Omer Rava, Rosh Shalzeb, it's at Ikroi Shalzeb. Every hair, the one hair came to the root of the next hair. And says the Gemara, Zahina Tasparis Kohen Gadol, that was the kind of haircut that the Kohen Gadol took. And the Mashah explains, why did the Kohen Gadol specifically take this type of haircut? Because he wanted to, the Kohen Gadol was trying to be told, don't. Kohen Gadol was, of course, a very prestigious position. And the message to the Kohen Gadol was, don't think that you earned this position because of your greatness, because you're such a special person. Rosh Shalzeh B'tzad Ikwe Shalzeh. Always remember that your greatness only comes B'tzad Ikroi, because of your Yichis, who you come from, that your father and forefathers were Kohanim. Not that you deserve this position because of yourself. I saw an interesting shaila in the Sefer Chashuke Chemed about haircuts. There's a person who walks into a barbershop and there's a line, five people are waiting for haircuts. And this person walks in and he says, I need to have a haircut immediately. And he says, and he says, I'm willing to pay double for a haircut. The barber tells him, I appreciate that you're willing to pay double to have your haircut immediately done, but There are five people who are waiting here, and I need to give a haircut, and I'm in a rush. So the barber says, I can't do it. So this person says, I'm willing to pay you double what you would earn from these five people who are waiting for a haircut. At this point, the barber turned around to the five people who are online, and he said to them, are you prepared to wait online here until I first take care of this person's haircut? And for that, I'll make my share, and each one of you will get a free haircut. So they agreed. At that point, the barber gave this person who was in such a rush the haircut. And afterwards, this person does a terrible thing. He says, I'm only going to pay you for one haircut. I'm not giving you the money, the extra money that I promised. So now, the Cheshukei Chemet says, we have a very interesting shaila. The five people were promised to get free haircuts. They were promised by the barber. Does the barber have to keep his word that he is giving them free haircuts, even though he didn't get anything extra? He's just going to lose a very significant sum of money because this person didn't end up paying him what he promised, and then he'll have to give five free haircuts. Or can he say, this deal that was made here was not between me, the barber, and you, the people who are online. It was really between you and the person who had promised this extra money. And now that he hasn't given the extra money, you're the ones that lose out. I should not lose out. So he says that clearly the deal, even though it was the barber who negotiated, so to speak, the deal, that Allah, at the end of the day, the one who the deal was really between this customer and the people who were in line. And it wasn't that he cheated. He did. The barber, he cheated them, and therefore they cannot demand a free haircut from the barber. The Gemara also, as we just mentioned from the Marsha, seems to not consider Ben Alosha such a great person. As I said, he's only called Ben Alosha. The Gemara seems to say that criticize that he spent so much money on learning how to, on a haircut, that it was a waste of money to do so. And Cheshukei Chemet speaks about a very interesting shaila. There's a girl who is prepared to get married, time to get married, but she's having difficulty finding a chassan of the caliber in Torah and mitzvahs that she's looking for. What should she do? Should she wait, or should she get married to this person, even though he may not be the caliber he's looking for? So he quotes the Cheshukei Chemet, Rav Zilberstein Shlita, quotes his brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal. He says that the gematria, the same gematria of the word isha, woman, is davash, honey. And we find a very interesting halachic phenomena regarding honey, he explained. That anything that falls into honey gets the halakha of honey. Honey has this characteristic that it turns anything that immerses itself into honey to be like it. So he says, a woman is like honey. A woman could take a man who's maybe not so great, but by connecting, by this man marrying this woman who has the right midos and has the right aspirations for their marriage, and turn him into what she is, turn him into, like Dvash turns whatever comes into contact with it into honey, could turn it into somebody great. And it's really, he says, a pasuk in Mishle. The pasuk says, Chachmas nonshim bonsa beisa, the ivlis biyada tarsana. It is the virtue of the woman and the wisdom of the woman who builds our homes. And therefore, even though the husband may not be so great, the man may not be so great, by marrying a special woman, it will change him altogether. There's a very interesting story that he speaks about. There was a woman that was having difficulty getting there was a woman who was having difficulty getting married, even though she came from a very special family. And at the end of it, and then something terrible happened. There was somebody put out a terrible rumor about her. Now that this terrible rumor was spread about her, that she was having even more so difficulty getting married. And the only person that she was able to find was somebody who was not of a great stature. And what happened was that she ended up marrying this man, and they raised a beautiful family. She raised a beautiful family that had four children who were all great Talmid Chachamim. And what we learn from here is that even if a person is not so great, but if a person marries a woman who is great, she has the ability to completely turn him around. We learned in the Mishnah that if somebody says that Kodim Tavshish Anatayim, the loch is he may eat Beya Tumurta, which was described in our previous year, and Dalmas Haramutza. Asking him, am I Dalmas Haramutza? What is the definition of Dalmas Haramutza? So it says, Dalmas Machlokes Amaroim. Amishmul Kara Karkazoi. It's a type of cucumber that goes in the country Karkazoi. Vashi Amar, Rashi says the definition of Dalmas Haramutza is Dalmas Atamuna Beremetz. They used to take a cucumber and put it in hot ash, and that's how it became edible, but it really isn't considered cooked. Ask the Gemara, Eser Ravina Ravashi. So Ravina asks Ravashi, your definition of Dalmas Haramutza, is it the last that's put into ash? Nechemi Amma, the last Haramis, he the last Amitris, Kloim Im Yivonis, if you mix different types of fruits and vegetables, you over for klayim, and he says that that's considered klayim with the last yivonis, and it's also klayim in remutza. So if the definition of remutza is the last that comes from this place kirkazoi, so it's a type of a cucumber, and the Bryce is teaching us that this cucumber mixed with another cucumber is klayim. But if we're going to say the definition of remutza means that it was cooked in a certain way, why would that make it klayim with something? Says the Gemara to Yufta, and we see clearly the definition of the last haramutza is the last that comes from the place ramutza of Karas Kakazoi. Says the Mishnah, Noidim Masa Kedera, if somebody makes a nether that they won't benefit from anything that's cooked in a pot, Ena Asur Mel Masa Resachta. The only thing that he may not have is something that's cooked in a pot. But if he said, not only something that needs a lot of cooking, in other words, if he said masa kedera, it means only food that's cooked in a pot and needs a lot of cooking in the pot. But if he said, that would include anything that's put into a pot, even if it doesn't need extensive cooking, or as the other Rishonim explained, even if it's something that's not put in a pot as a final way of preparing it, it's put in, as we're going to see, in a frying pan, but if it goes into the pot at any point, that it's considered yor. If somebody made this nether, then the aloch is also betafshel yor l'ilfus. Even a food that's cooked in a frying pan, because many foods that were prepared in a frying pan, the way they were prepared was the first they were cooked in a pot and then they were put into the frying pan. And the Gemara is saying that that's enough of a reason that it should be considered a yor l'kedera. But if somebody said that he's not going to have a benefit from anything that's put in a frying pan, and the way I saw the Rishonim explain is that even though it's ultimately going to be put in the frying pan, but at this point it's only at the stage where it was put into the pot, so it's not yet considered yoyer le'ilfis, even though that's what's ultimately going to happen. If somebody said something that's made in a pot, then he's allowed to have benefit from something that's made in a frying pan.
But if he said, and if he said, Menasa Beilfus, Mutter Banasa Begdeiro, even he's allowed to have benefit from something that's cooked by only being put into the pot. Something that's put, that's supposed to be put into the frying pan, if it was only put into the pot, is not considered Nasa Beilfus. Hanoidim Ayoru Latanim, if he used the words anything that's supposed to be in the oven, and also will pass. Even though there are other foods that are put into ovens, but hayoyrid, the way I sort of showed him explain, because he used that hayoyrid, he used that extra word hayoyrid, you know, and it'll only include bread. However, if I'm a kol masatan alai, if he said anything that's put into an oven should be also to me, then that includes also b'chol nas matanor, anything that's put into a oven would be included in that nether. Min hakovish. And again, what's very clear in the Gemara is that there's a difference if you use the word, if when you said the word that you're speaking about in the nether, you added that hay or you didn't add the hay. So if you said min hakovish, eino osa ela min hakovish or yerek. The only thing that's included is vegetables that are pickled, that are soaked. But if he said the word koinim shani toyim, kovish shani toyim, he didn't say that hay, then it includes osur makalik vushim. Anything that's prepared by kovush is included. There are those that say that it's not the hay that's the critical thing. What's critical, as we're going to see in our shurim, is that he added the word sha'ani toyim. Similar locha. If he said mina sholok, if he said sholok, and as we discussed at the beginning of this perek, there's a machloikus rishonim. What is the definition of shalok? Some say the definition of shalok means food that's overcooked. Some say that it means food that's undercooked, actually. So if somebody said, menasholok, and also menasholok shalbosar. By adding that hay, he means meat. However, shalok shenitayim, also b'cholashlokim. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Achabarei, the Rav Avila, Rav Ashi, Amma de Kovish. If somebody said Kovish, De kovish, olai, my, what will be the halacha then? If somebody used the words the shalok olai, my would be the halacha. Or he said the tzoli olai, my, the malich olai, which means something salted. Hechemashma, what does that mean? By saying the word de kovish with the dalid, is the saying de kovish an equivalent to saying the hay? And as we're learning in our shir, when you say the hay, it means only one specific type of food prepared that way. Kovish means, ha-kovish means vegetables, ha-sholok means meat. Or does the dalet not have the same definition as the hay? And the Gemara says, tibai, it remains a question. Says the Mishnah, if he used the word min hatsoli, with again with that hay, and also min hatsoli shabasa, it means roasted meat. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But if he says tzoli shani toyim, he didn't add that extra hay, then the halacha is that osur b'chol atzluyim, he can't have benefits from anything that's roasted. Again, if somebody said min hamaliach, the salted food. So when we add that hay by saying hamaliach, it means eina osur ela min hamaliach shadag. That's fish, which is salted. But if he didn't have that hay, all he said was Maliach Shanitayim, then the halacha is Asa B'chal Maluchim, he may not eat any salted food. Continues the Mishnah. If somebody said Dag Dogim Shanitayim, Asa B'hen, because he used both the word Dag and Dogim, then the halacha is all fish he may not eat, Ben Gedolim Ben Ketanim, both big fish and small fish. And the way the Rad seems to understand the Mishnah is Dag refers to big fish, and dogim means small fish. The Rambam has a different explanation. If he only meant to speak about one type of fish, he should have just said dag. The fact that he added the word dogim, it means that he's speaking about all types of fish. And therefore, he'll be usher both in big fish and small fish, bein meluchim, bein tefelim, whether they were salted or not salted, bein chayim, whether they were cooked, the raw, they were cooked, or bein, if they were raw, or bein v'shalom, if they're cooked. We know fish may be consumed when they're raw, or bein v'shalom, or whether they were, again, ben chayim ben mishon, whether they were raw or they cooked. However, umutah b'tris tufa. Tris tufa is a type of fish that was cut into small pieces. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that when he speaks about dag or dagim, he's only speaking about whole fish. But when the fish was chopped and into fish salad, that is not included in dagim, and therefore the halacha is he'll be mutter to have that, and he'll also be mutter to have the tzir. He'll be mutter to have the fish sauce that comes out of the fish. That is not included in what you said. That is not included in what you said, dag dagim. And as the Shalman the Dorim asks a question, most fish that's raw is not eaten in those days. So fish wasn't eaten when it's raw. So why, when you said dag dagim, do we say that raw fish is eaten? So the Shalman the Dorim answers that since fish don't require significant preparation to make them edible, that's already enough to be considered in the category of dag dagim. But if they're made into salad, that's not included in dag dagim. The Ritva makes a very interesting halachic point. He says, the Gemara just said, the Mishnah just said, that when you said, that when you say mean dag whole fish, you don't mean fish that's not whole. So says the Ritva, what happens if when you made the fish, it was whole? When you made the nether, the fish was whole. So obviously, your nether affected that fish. And then after you made that nether, and affected the entire fish, what happened was you fish sauce came out. So he says, even though we're saying that fish sauce is not included in dag dagim, explains the Ritva, but when you made the nether, that fish sauce was part of the fish, which was osur. When is the fish sauce not included in the nether, says the Ritva? Only in a case where the fish sauce was already separated from the fish before you made the nether. But if the fish sauce was not separated at that point, then the halacha is it would be included in your nether. If somebody made a nether min hasholot, if somebody made a nether which is a combination of many small salted fish, also a tris trufa, because in the tris trufa there is in the tzachna there is the fish salad or muta b'tzur. He's allowed to have the fish oil, b'mirius, and the fish sauce. Hanoid b'tris trufa, but if you made a nether that you won't benefit from tris trufa, then also b'tzur b'mirius, you may not have the tzur or the murius. The Ran says that the definition of tzachna is small fish that some are chopped and some are whole. And since you said that you're not having hanor from tzachna, it means that you're not allowed to have from whole fish and chopped fish. The Tosis has a different explanation. Since tzachna are small fish look like fish salad. And therefore, when you said the tzachna, which really means the small fish, the tris trufa is also included. Tanya of Shimon Allah's Oimer. Dog shani time. If somebody said the word dog, then he's also a big doylem. He's not allowed to benefit from big fish. But he's going to have a benefit from small fish. If he said dog go shani toyim, also big ktanim, or mota big doylem. Because doga refers to small fish. But if he said dog dogish anytime, so he included both small fish and big fish, and therefore also b'gdoil and b'gtanim. Amalei popular abaya. May the dog shanitoyim godlhu. How do we know, asked the Gemara, the dog refers to big fish? The ksiv yimin Hashem dag godl levloya es yoyna. Kodesh Baruch Hu prepared this big fish to swallow yoyna. So we see that when the pasuk uses the word dog, it means a large fish. But ask the Gemara, yispal yoyna el Hashem, and may had doga. So we see that doga is also referred to a big fish. Answers the Gemara, Haloi kasha. Delma the palte da gadol. The big fish expelled him, and bale da cotton. Then the small fish swallowed him. And the way I saw the Yalkut Shemoni explains what happened here. First, Yoina was swallowed by a big male fish. And even though, of course, he was not that comfortable being inside a fish, but it was not that terrible. There's plenty of room in the stomach of a large fish. So that large male fish expelled him, and he was swallowed by another fish, which was a large fish, but that large fish was a female fish. And there were many eggs in that fish, and therefore there wasn't room for him. Ask the Gemara. Now that you're saying that doga means dogim ktanim, the pasuk says that doga should be your meso. Does that mean ktanim mesu, gdolim le mesu? That the only thing that happened when the river in Mitzrayim turned into blood, only the large fish, only the small fish died and the large fish? Why would that make any sense? Ela doga mashma gdolim mashma ktanim. Indeed, the word doga, as mentioned in the Torah, can mean both big and small. But as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, in the Dorim, when we speak about the Dorim, halach achaloshim and adam, we follow the way people express themselves. And people, when they say the word dog, they mean big fish. And when they say doga, they mean small fish. Hanoidim et tzachna. Somebody said tzachna. We learned in the Mishnah, he's not allowed to have tris trufa, but he's allowed to have the tzir amurius. What is the definition? What is the halacha of tzichin? Is tzichin a way of explaining, saying tzachna? And by saying tzichin, it'll have the same halacha as you said tzachna, and you'll be also in the tzachna, but you'll be mutter in the tzir and the murius? Or is tzichin a broader word? And by being a broader word, not only will you be osir in the tachna, but you'll also be also in the tzir and murius, and the Gemara Tibai remains with a question.